was struggling.
Father's just working.
Fingers to the bone.
Until my sisters keep
fighting.
Brothers keep
striving.
Children, don't think that you're all alone. There's a message in this simple song I want to sing. Whatever the problem may be, God can do a new thing.
I've been praying for you.
I've been praying for you.
I've been praying for you.
Will you pray for me?
I've been praying for you.
Don't you hate on me now.
I've been praying for you.
I'm not gonna hate on you.
I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you.
Let's get together. Oh, and pray.
I've been praying for you.
The radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused in that voice of life ministered to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
First off, it's a good way to kick off this revival is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to read just two verses of scripture. Amen. We have 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, looking at verse 13. I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. Amen. But I want to use for a thought on tonight, how to get restored. How to get restored. The grass wither and the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. When we look at the book of 2 Chronicles, it is a continuation of 1 Chronicles, which is almost a copy of 1st and 2nd Kings. The reason you have a difference is the Chronicles are actually chronicles that the kings ordered to be written. And so that's why in Chronicles you don't find the sloppiness of the kings. That's why you don't find the disobedience and rebellion of the kings. But when you read in 1st and 2nd Kings, It is written by the prophets. And the prophets let you know what really went on. They let you know how sloppy the kings were, how they divided the kingdoms, and how they messed up pretty bad. But then it also lets you know how many of them relied on the word of God, the prophets of God, to give them direction. Amen. But when you read Chronicles, you'll find that the kings, they did a lot of things. But the one most important thing that I think that came through the first or even the second Chronicles that actually that stood out to me that I like was that Solomon, who was chosen by God, he built the house of the Lord. Amen. He built it, and it was good that he did it because he didn't have any blood on his hands like his daddy. His daddy and all the mighty men had stored up so that he could have something to be able to build the house of God with. That's wisdom in itself, because a good man, even if he's a bloody man, will leave something for his children to do and to work with. Amen. But Solomon, he finally got the house of the Lord finished. And he prayed about a lot of things. He even prayed about for God to send him a man that would be able to work the gold that he had to put in the temple. Amen. And so Solomon, he began to pray, and he dedicated the temple, and he dedicated it by sacrifice. Amen. If you want to dedicate yourself to the Lord, you have to dedicate yourself by sacrifice. As a matter of fact, Romans 12:1 instructs us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, because God doesn't want dead things anymore. Amen. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And he tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And guess what? We can't have an old mindset the way we used to think and present our bodies to God. That's the struggle that so many people have. They still have a carnal mind, and they try to come to church with it. Preach anyway. They still have a carnal mind, and they try to serve, and they try to do things in the church with a carnal mind. But how can you present your body if your mind ain't right? You see, wherever way your mind is, your body tends to follow. And so if you have stinking thinking, then your body do stinking things. Preach anyway. Amen. And so we got to understand that when Solomon dedicated the temple, he dedicated it by sacrifice. I think it was something like 20-some thousand bullocks, 100-and-something thousand sheep. He sacrificed. And let me tell you, it was so much sacrifice that was going on. Amen. I wish I had time to tell you everything. It was so much sacrifice going on that the blood, it was so much blood that they couldn't even get back to the altar, the brazen altar that had been built for sacrifice. There was so much blood running around and flowing around in that area that they couldn't. And he had to come out, and he had to hollow the court. In other words, he deemed it holy so that he can keep sacrificing, because it was so much sacrifice. Now, what we got to understand something here is that Solomon, because his daddy, David, was king and priest, Solomon fell in that lineage too. So he could sacrifice and be a king at the same time. This is a picture of us, where God tells us through Peter, he said, you are a royal priesthood. Amen. A holy nation. So we are royalty, kings that are in tune or in touch with God. The word priest means to draw near to God. And so we're able to draw near to God, and we're able to handle sacrifices. Now, the one thing I love about what a priest does and what Solomon did is that he handled flesh. He cut it. Sometimes in church, we are afraid to cut that flesh. We're afraid to cut it down, to put it to end, bring an end to the flesh. Amen. And sometimes we have to realize that it's our flesh acting up. Our flesh wants attention. Our flesh. God told me that this is going to be a week of order. Amen. So we might as well get ready. And so our flesh sometimes act up while we're in the house of God, while we're supposed to be worshiping God outside of the house of God, while we're still supposed to be forgiven. I forgive you as long as we're in the house. I speak to you. But when we get outside of here, I don't like you. That's enough of that, God is saying. And so he said, we must present our bodies a living sacrifice. And so Solomon, he sacrificed so that he can get a response from God. When you learn how to sacrifice, then you get a response from God. Amen. He sacrificed all of the bullocks and all of the sheep so much that there was blood everywhere and flesh everywhere. And then all of a sudden, God spoke. And when he spoke through fire. That sounds like the Holy Ghost to me. Amen. So the Bible says that when in the day of Pentecost, they were there on one accord. He says, and I've been to that upper room. I'm telling you, some power still there. Amen. And he said they were there in one place. And he says, that came in the spirit as a mighty sounding, like a mighty rushing wind. And he said it was like cloven tongues of fire. And so we know that God is a what? Consuming fire. He answered Elijah on Mount Carmel by fire. And now here he is because of the sacrifice that Elijah made. Then he answers Solomon by fire to let him know, I'm confirming that I accept what you've offered me because it is a sacrifice that's pleasing to me. In this generation we live in a generation where people don't like to sacrifice. What they don't like, if it's making me uncomfortable, then I'm not with it. If it's costing me too much, then I'm not with it. If it makes me have to give a little more effort, then I'm not with it. If it makes me have to sit down and just grit my teeth and take it like a man, I got to get out of here. I'm not with it. And so we got to get out of that because God is not always going to make us comfortable. If you ever get comfortable in the presence of God, something's wrong with you. Because we should always be at our best. We should always be humble. We should always be in fear and reverence of God. But nowadays, people, they want to talk to God like he's a homeboy. No, I don't believe in that. Amen. We got to get to the point of where we reverence God. Go back to that. We need to get to the point where we are calling those things that are holy, holy like God said they are. Amen. If you're not holy, then you're not. He said, look, and God said this. He said, if you're unholy, you'll be that. If you're unjust, you'll still be unjust. Amen. But we need to make sure people walk as God wants them to because we are the temples now that the sacrifice need to go on inside of. I sacrifice my thoughts sometimes and I don't say what I would have said. Amen. I sacrifice what I feel sometimes because sometimes I don't feel like it, but I still go to church and praise the Lord. I wish I had somebody. I sacrifice what I want to do because sometimes I want to do other things, but I still come and I serve God like I'm supposed to. Hallelujah. So Solomon sacrificed and they went to church for 14 days. And did nothing but praising and worshiping God. Now, if we did that 2 or 3 days, we done did too much. Ooh, I'm wore out. But we go to work sometimes 6 days a week, and we never complain because on Friday, we see we don't have patience enough. Amen. Let me try to get here because I don't want to be too long, and I can go on. Now, after God had came and answered by fire, and the glory of God had come in the place. What I mean, if God answered by fire, it was some smoke in the place. And wherever that smoke, there seemed to be some fire. Amen. And so the smoke, they called it the Shekinah glory of God. Amen. The Shekinah or Shekinah glory of God. And the Shekinah glory of God filled the place to the point that the ministers could not minister. The people who played music couldn't play music. Everybody had to lay down. See, that's what I'm telling you. I don't understand how we can just get to a place where we're so comfortable and we're so boastful and prideful and we're so uppity in God. We can't get to that place. We have to remember that God said for us to be humble. Oh, hallelujah. He told us, even preachers, he said, don't lord over the things of God. Amen. You're an overseer. You're under shepherd under him, but not you to lord. And so how is that anybody could think that this belongs to them? How can you own God? God said, you are bought with a price. Oh, my God. Yeah. He said that your body, don't you know, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. So how are you going to own something? When the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and them that dwell therein. This might be all we get tonight, but that's good. So when he had finished, God spoke to him in a dream. He came, and you know what? Nobody else may not hear or see God speaking to you. But after you've sacrificed and you've given your all, God waits for it to quiet down. Because he don't want all the distractions. And I've realized something. I've realized a lot of stuff that we've seen in church that we thought was people, you know, under the influence of the Holy Spirit was just a distraction. Not all the time, and I'm not putting down anything anybody does, but not all the time, every yell and every holler and every dance and every jump, not every time is it of God. Sometimes it's a distraction so you can't hear God. But when it got quiet, that's when God decided that he wanted to speak to Solomon. When it got quiet, that's when God said, hey, I want to talk to you while you're laying down, while you can't move. I need to tell you some things. And look, now when God came to Solomon, he said, Solomon, because you were good enough to give me all of that, and because you had 14 days of giving me nothing but attention, I want to know what is it that you want. You see, you can't beat God giving. Anytime you give God something, anytime you sacrifice to God, God will always turn around something and bless you. You don't have to ask. He wants to bless you. And sometimes we say, Lord, please bless me. No, God wants to bless you. The Bible says it pleases God to give you the kingdom. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you the very best. And since he wants to give you the very best, all we need to do is sacrifice and he'll give it to us. Sometimes we think that we got to turning on TBN and find the one who's prophesying through the television and preaching to the TV and saying that if you just send your $99.99, then you can get this blessing. Let me tell you, at some point, your blessings that you're sending and buying for $100, they're going to go on sale. Hallelujah. Everything goes on sale. Quit buying your blessing and just sacrifice. Just give it your all to God and he'll still bless you. Let me tell you a story. I had a friend of mine that went to this huge conference. I'm not going to tell you which one, you'll know. And he went to this big conference, and the guy said, let me tell you something. God just told me that look at your shoes. And, you know, a lot of them, they wear alligator shoes, you know. And he said, look at your shoes. And whatever you pay for your shoes, if it's $600, if it's $1,000, then God says, sow a seed of whatever you pay for your shoes, and you're going to walk in the blessing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then after they start paying their $500, and he said, all right, for all of y'all that couldn't do that, I got a deal for you. God says that if you give $199.99, because it was the year 2000, it was almost 2000, it was 1999, God said if you do that, you'll get the same blessing. I had a friend of mine, he said, I'm just going to wait. He said, because I know my blessing is about to go on sale. They went all the way down to $19.99. He said, I don't have a problem giving that 20 so I can get what all of them got. What I'm saying is that you don't have to do all of that. All you need to do is present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and you shall have what God has promised you. God will hunt you down to bless you. God will look for you and say, where you at? I'm looking to bless you. Why do you think he was looking for Adam? He wasn't looking for Adam to curse him, because God came in the cool of the day. He wasn't mad. He was cool when he came down. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Because he knew that I got to go bless. If I don't bless these people, they'll give up on me. Come on and say amen. And God know that you're throwing the towel if he don't keep blessing you. He know that you won't come to church if you don't see something. And so God knows, he says, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. And so God keep pouring out blessings on you so that you'll keep on saying, ain't God good? So you'll keep on testifying to somebody and telling them that God made a way for me when nobody else could make. And that's why he shut up all your resources and said, let me show you that I am the source. Hallelujah. I hadn't even gotten the text yet. Y'all got to help me get there. Hallelujah. So he says, God spoke to him and said, what do you want, Solomon? He said, what you want? He says, God, I really don't want no money, because I've seen all the gold I need to see in your house. I'm a king. I don't really need a whole lot of anything, but what I really need is wisdom on how to rule your people so that I won't do nobody wrong. And the Bible says that Solomon, nobody had so great a wisdom as Solomon. So much so that when the queen of Sheba came to see him, she had sent some stuff. And when she came to see him, she fell out. That's what the Bible said, that she fell out. She said, the half. I've heard of your greatness.
But when I got here, and look what she saw. She saw the people that was with him, how he ordered them, on how they went in and they came out. How they served without any complaint. How they did everything in to perfection the way it should have been done. When she saw that, she fell out and said, the half had not been told. And see, we are supposed to be, Solomon's reign is a chameleon. Basically, a cameo. It is basically a picture or a look of how the millennial reign of Christ will be. We, the servants of God, are supposed to serve without complaint. So we're supposed to serve to an order of perfection to the point that nobody makes a mistake. And then the queen of Sheba, she fell out and she said the half hadn't been told. She fell out and married him. And had children for him. Amen. And they called them the Ethiopians that the Jews had to go and rescue. Y'all remember that? They rescued and brought them back to Israel. Amen. I met some of those not too long ago. Amen. And so, anyway, Solomon, the Bible says that Solomon asked for that. And God said, I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. Because you gave me more than what I asked for. When you can give God more than what he asked for, then God will in turn bless you with more than you asked for. You see, sometimes people worried about who get what. You know, you quit worrying about them and just take care of you. Quit looking at the next man's blessing and saying, Lord, that's supposed to be mine. Lord, I wish I can get that. No, you just serve and sacrifice and let God do the blessing. Hallelujah. All right, let's go into the scripture. He says that I'm going to choose this house for sacrifice. This is where I want sacrifices to go on in the house of God. Verse 13 says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people. Let's stop right there. This title here today is How to Get Restored. Now, we're having revival. And when we talk about revival, revival in its definition is to restore the life or consciousness, its vigor or strength. So to restore to life, consciousness, vigor or strength. In other words, God wants to restore you basically so he can use you. And so revival should be that I'm getting restored so I can be used by God. Because in this life, we have a whole bunch of things that happen, and it seems like we get banged up from the cares of this life. But God is saying, I want to restore all of your strength, so the bruises and the bumps that you got, you won't remember them, but you'll realize that you got stronger throughout it all. And so he says, look, if I shut up the heavens, so he said, look, God is saying, I'm doing this. See, God knew, when he talked to Solomon, he didn't reveal to Solomon, Solomon, you're going to mess up. He needs to reveal to Solomon that the people were going to be rebellious. He didn't reveal that, but he knew that they would. But look at what he says. I'm giving you a remedy to when you mess up. I'm giving you a remedy to when you rebel. I'm giving you something to do to get back in the place that you want, that you need to be in. And so God never leaves us without an antidote. God, oh, come on and say amen. God always gives us what we need. And look, he says, if I shut up heaven, and sometimes we've been blaming the devil for a whole bunch of stuff that God has done. We got to quit talking about the devil did this. And why anyway do you get up and testify in church about how bad you had a fight with the devil and how the devil has beat you up? We need to stop glorifying the devil and begin to glorify God instead of saying what the devil's done and how he's acting up on your job. What's God doing on your job? What God, if the devil's acting up in your children, what has God done for you and in your children? I wish I had somebody. If you can glorify the devil, I dare you to talk about God. He said, if I shut up the heaven, and God said, I won't let it rain. You ain't got no blessings. Look like my prayers ain't getting through. God ain't raining down no blessings. God said, I'm shutting up the heaven. Amen. And look, for once, we got to realize what God said. He said that if you bring the tithes to my house, that it may be meat in my house, I'll open up the windows of what? I'm so glad he said windows, because in a place there's always more windows than there are doors. Come on and say amen. I see four windows and I see a couple of doors to the outside. Amen. And since there are more windows than doors, God will open up the windows and pour us our blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. Anybody had to clean their closet and give some stuff away? You need to know that you are in the top 7% of the richest people in the world, and you ought to be glad about it, because it's God's doing. Amen. And is excellent in his sight. He said, if I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, if there be no rain. In other words, rain serves a purpose. Rain, if there's no rain, then nothing grows. If there's no rain, then you can't get cooled off. If there's no rain, your drinking will run out. You won't have anything to drink. You won't have any refreshment, and you won't have no food. Amen? If there's no rain, then you got a big problem. He said, now, if I stop it from raining, but then he says also, and if I command the locusts to divide the land. We need to know that the devil can't do nothing without asking God. He can't do anything. God will not turn loose the enemy. The enemy can't just turn loose on you without God saying, okay, I'll let you do a little bit. Amen? Remember the book of Job? The Bible says that as the sons of God came before God to present themselves before God, and Satan also came among them. But look, Satan was, he said, Satan, what you want? Where you been? He said, I've been to and fro the earth seeking one whom I may devour. God knew exactly where he been, because he said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, oh, well, by the way, I went by his house and I couldn't get in because you got a hedge around it. And he knew where the devil was. And see, some of us say it's the devil, and we haven't encountered the devil because the devil is not omnipresent. You see, only God is omnipresent. See, the problem is how you see God, because a lot of us think the devil is the opposite of God, when no, the devil is the opposite of you, because you have power. The Bible says, in my name. I'm getting ahead of myself. We got to see something. He says, there be no rain. He said, if I command the locusts and they come and devour the land. In other words, everything you grow, the insects eat it up. Everything you grow, you can't even get a harvest from what you're putting out there. And sometimes that's how it feels. Sometimes we can't get a harvest from what we put out. You looked at people, you sown into their lives, you sown into the church, you've given your all and you've sacrificed, and sometimes it looked like you've put all you can in the people and you don't get nothing back. I can't get no help. Can I get a little bit? You put it all in people and seem like nothing happened. It's the locusts that have come. But I declare, the Bible says that he'll restore the years of the cankerworm and the locusts. I declare that's what God said, that if you just trust in him, he'll do those things for you. Oh, yeah, he said that if the locusts come and devour the land. Now, he says that if I send pestilence among my people. So we look at the pestilent conditions that God may see. Send upon his people. And you know what? I like this, because it lets me know that even though it may be some bad things going on, that God is still sovereign and God is still in control. It reminds me of how Elijah the prophet, how he went, and the Bible said that he was there by a brook, and he had the ravens to feed him, and he drank from the brook until the brook dried up. And then God said, don't worry about that. I got somewhere else for you to be. I got somebody else that I'm going to give to sustain you. But you got to understand, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. So he didn't just say, well, Lord, I pray that it happen over here as long as it don't happen at my house. No, he knew that he was going to be affected by what was going to happen, but he knew God would make a way. Where are the people that knows that it's going to be some effects that I'm going to feel, but I know that God will make a way? Anybody here ever said that I know that the Lord will make a way somehow? He said that if I send pestilence among my people, if I send some bad things to happen in the land where my people reside, he said, I got something I need you to understand. He said, if I send pestilence, he said, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, first thing I want you to see is that there is a personal connection. He said, if my people, God says my people. And so therefore, that means that word my means ownership. That means you belong to him. He says that we are his people. And the sheep of his pasture. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We got to understand that we belong to him because we've been purchased by the blood. Amen. We got to understand that we belong not to ourselves, but we belong to God because he is the maker and creator of all mankind. He said, which are called by my name. And so when he talks about being called by his name, let's look at what that means. That means that we're called by his name, and that means that if we wear the name, then the name will protect us. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He said that his name is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are saved. Preach anyway. He said that at that name, he said, demons fear and tremble. He said, if these signs shall follow them that believe that in my name you shall cast out devils, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you shall speak in new tongues. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. He said this about his name. And so if I'm called by his name, there are some things that ought to be concurrent with me if I'm called by his name. He said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I wish I had somebody here that understood the name. He gave us a name that is above every name. He said at that